Luke chapter 2, from verse 21 to verse 40. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She'd lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Mary and Joseph had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him.
Please keep your Bibles open here in Luke chapter 2, and we'll look at it and think about the story of Simeon. And as we do that, well, we could say that's it, right? Christmas is over. We've had our nice time of Advent and living towards Christmas, expecting, waiting. We've had our carols, our services, our gifts. We've had our, maybe very limited this year, but still a time with family. We had nice meals, and then we had Boxing Day yesterday. And now, that's it. What do we do now? Are we going back to the ordinary, just the plodding of daily life in COVID, and with everything that goes on? Really, what has all this expectation, all this waiting for Christmas, and then seeing it, celebrating it, what has that done to you? What has been your response? I really hope your main takeaway this year isn't disappointment of all that we could not do. Disappointment that Christmas wasn't just the same. Frustration with the virus or with the restrictions or whatever. That this year Christmas isn't like sort of that you don't have a bad aftertaste as our parsnips that didn't turn out so well on Christmas Day. But really, because as Christians we should look beyond that, right? With all these limitations and restrictions this year, as Christians, we must look beyond that. And we should remember that whatever happened to our traditions and our celebration this year, the true reason for celebrating is just as present and just as powerful and just as precious as it was always and as it will always be. So let these things sink in this morning as we think once more about the coming of the Lord Jesus to this earth, and then from the point of view of Simeon this morning, as he met with baby Jesus. And I've titled it, God's Rescue Plan Has Come. And we'll see how he was waiting as we go through the passage, and then seeing, and then responding. So first, God's rescue plan has come. Waiting for it. Let's read again verse 25 and 26. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So Simeon is here presented to us as a very reliable witness. He was a righteous man, a devout man. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Later on, he prophesies. He is really a reliable, a faithful witness of what we hear as he speaks about Jesus, what this means. We have his testimony, as it were, written down here in the Bibles for us. And we can believe him. He is reliable. And he's like one of the other prophet figures that surround the coming of the Lord Jesus. We saw that earlier in Luke 1 with Mary who sang, and Zechariah who prophesied. And they received these new messages from the angels and from the Lord. And they could not help but praise God and speak to him and speak of all these very special things that Jesus was. Jesus wasn't an ordinary baby. He was very special. And so Simeon, like Mary and Zechariah and Elizabeth, he was one of those faithful people in Israel who was truly waiting for that consolation, that comfort of Israel. And so now, after we have seen those accounts of Mary and the angels and Zechariah, now we come to Simeon as he meets Jesus. And we get another prophecy about who Jesus is and what he will do. He will give us more information about this very special child. And then in verse 25, we read that he was waiting for the consolation or the comfort of Israel. And from what he says here and then in the later verses, it's clear that he knew the Bible, the scriptures, very well. And for him, of course, that was the Old Testament, the prophets and the books of Moses and the Psalms. But as a faithful Jew, he truly wanted to study these words. He wanted to follow God. He wasn't one that just did the outward ceremonies and the religious obligations in the day. He was truly following the Lord. And he had thought about all that, for example, the prophet Isaiah had said. And he longed for that day that the Lord would send this comfort of the people. Because that's what we read at the start of this service. Comfort, comfort my people, had Isaiah prophesied. And that would happen in this servant of the Lord that Isaiah speaks of later on, this baby that Simeon now meets. And he had received special revelation from God, a direct revelation from the Holy Spirit. And this is a special thing, of course, but this was a special time when Jesus was born. In verse 26, we read that he was told by the Holy Spirit that this fulfillment would come in his own lifetime. He would not die before he would see the servant of the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the King of David's line. He would see that with his own eyes. And then, well, perhaps we have been waiting for Christmas this year and longed for the holiday time and for the time with families and longed for that special time of the year. But have you got that deeper longing too? That longing, that waiting for the consolation of Israel, as I say. Or in our day, we would maybe say for the comfort of God's people. Do you long for that? To see and to know the salvation that only God can bring. Because we heard in these last couple of weeks of how God did that, and we focused on it again and again from these different parts of the story. The fulfillment, God speaking again after so many centuries, bringing all those prophesied words to fulfillment. God entering this world, Jesus the Messiah, born in Bethlehem, the infinite and eternal God, he took on a human nature. He became like us in every respect without sin. And yet he, the pure and the holy God, he chose to live in this world so cursed by sin and so broken and so full of misery and pain. Remember that as you think of how Jesus came here. He was God. He was pure. He did not sin. He saw everything. He saw the hearts of all the people around him. He saw all the brokenness. And we read so often, right? He was moved with compassion as he saw the people. And he wanted to heal them and he wanted to comfort them. And he drew in the outcasts of society and the sinners. And he saw all the brokenness. And yet he chose to come to this earth to because of his love. He loved this world because he had chosen to save his people in this way. To pave a way for you and for me to come back to God, to have a relationship with God again. But this salvation, it's not yet complete. Jesus will return a second time and make all things new and finish all the work that he started in our lives and in our day and already back then. He will complete the day to bring us finally home. And so what the prophets like Isaiah saw as something in the far future, in centuries ahead, it looked to them like one big event. And they looked at it in the distance, but actually it was fulfilled in two events. For them, it was like seeing two great mountains in the distance. And it was hard to distinguish really whether it was one or two, or whether they were very far apart or not, or exactly what the distance was. And now, of course, we know it was two great events, two great mountains, as it were, with more than 2,000 years of time in between. But that's why some of these prophecies in the Old Testament, they seem to blend it a bit, the first and the second coming of the Lord Jesus. But well, Simeon, he was waiting. He was longing for this comfort of God's people. He was longing for the first coming. And so the question then to us is, are we longing for the second coming? Are we longing for that day that Jesus will return? And we're not sure when it will be. Jesus made that very clear. If anyone would say that he, like Simeon, had received direct revelation from the Holy Spirit, don't believe him. Because Jesus made it clear, only God the Father knows the day of his return. But still, it could be in our lifetimes. It could be today. And so, are we longing, are we waiting for that day that Jesus comes back? And we come to the second element then. We're not just waiting, but we're also seeing in this story, seeing. God's rescue plan has come. And the second idea is seeing. Mary and Joseph, we read that in the bit that John read just before verse 25. Mary and Joseph, they went to Jerusalem. They needed to fulfill all the obligations that they had from the Old Testament, the laws in Leviticus and the other books. They needed to bring the purification sacrifice for Mary who had given birth. And they had to present their firstborn son in the temple and redeem him. And so they travel to Jerusalem and to the temple. And then this meeting happens. God's providence and the guidance of the Holy Spirit brings these people together in the temple. And then Simeon, he sees, yes, this time has come. What God has promised to me, that is now, it's happening. He sees this consolation, this comfort of Israel. He sees the Lord's Messiah. He sees God's salvation. Well, actually, he sees a baby with a father and a mother. Actually, he sees a very poor family. They only brought two pigeons, the prescribed sacrifice for a poor family. An ordinary baby, so it seems. But that was with his natural eyes, as it were, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he saw with the eyes of faith. And he sees much, much more than just a baby there in the hands of Joseph and Mary. Let's read verse 27 to 32 again. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." Simeon holds baby Jesus in his arms. And first of all, he praises God. He rejoices. And perhaps the people around him noticed this. It must have been a busy time there on that temple court. And as he then sings or speaks these words, just like Mary and Zechariah did before, in those songs we heard big truths about baby Jesus. And now, again, we see that. And I want to highlight just two things here. Simeon explains what this child means, both for himself and for all the people. First for himself, look at verse 29. "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace." That word that gets the emphasis in the original Greek. Now is the time when God is working out this fulfillment. Now is the day when the promises to Simeon himself were fulfilled. And then he says that remarkable thing, doesn't he? Basically, he asks the Lord to discharge him from his duty of being vigilant, of waiting. The words, therefore, "sovereign Lord" and "for servant," they show this really intimate relationship of a master and a bondservant or a slave. Simeon, he really is the Lord's own person. And now, he is, as it were, discharged. His task is done as that servant of God. Simeon knows that he is the Lord's. He has now seen great peace and salvation, the salvation that his master has brought. He's now finished. He's ready to depart, to die. And what a great peace this is, that he can say it in this way. Ryle comments here that faith and faith alone allows men to say this. This must be so much more than a weariness of pain or weakness, more than an indifference to this world, to have him say this, "Now let your servant depart in peace." Only faith gives this true peace, without any fear of dying. And so the question is, do we know that peace? Do we know such peace? That maybe you are struggling at this time. Many in our church are with pain or with illnesses, with the loneliness over these past couple of days. But as we know with Simeon, truly know the Lord Jesus, he gives this peace, peace with God, and that is surpassing all. And what a great thing it would be to say with Simeon, that you can say this freely, "Oh, sir, Lord, let your servant depart in peace, for I know your salvation, I've seen it." In verse 30 and following, he gives the reason why he can say it this way. You see, verse 30 starts with "for," because. "Let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." This baby that he's holding there in his arms, this little helpless child, is salvation in a person, as it were. Salvation personified. Because our salvation is a person. We don't just believe in some distant, impersonal facts, merely the death and resurrection, for example. Of course, those things are central. But we believe in Jesus, the whole person, all that he is and all that he did. All Jesus is important. Paul writes it so often, right? This is all in Christ, in him. It is Jesus and all that he is and does that is salvation from God. And so that's that first element. Simeon says what this child means for him personally. But then he also says what this child means for all the people. And that's in verse 31 and 32. This salvation which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Because why did Luke choose to record this meeting, you might think? After all that we've heard from Zechariah and Mary and the angels, what more is there to say about this child, you'd think? And well, there is a new element here. In this prophecy from Simeon, there is a new thing. Because Simeon zooms out, as it were, and he shows this child has not just come for Israel, for God's old covenant people. No, this child has come for all people. And this is an emphasis that Luke will continue with all throughout his gospel and the book of Acts. Jesus has come to bring all people to God, to call for God's people from all the nations. And so, in these verses here, as we read of a light for revelation to the Gentiles, maybe you think again of that passage that we've heard a couple of times in the past days, from Isaiah 9. There, the prophet said, "In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor or make glorious Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." This baby is bringing that light in the darkness also for those nations of the Gentiles. Why? Well, verse 6 there in Isaiah 9, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Simeon recognizes it. This child that he is holding, that child is the mighty God. That child is the Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, that is bringing him so much peace now. That little boy that is bringing him peace, but not just himself, but all people. And those Gentiles, remember, that's you and me. I don't know if anyone is from Jewish descent here. We had that in our church in London, but here I think we've all Gentiles. We are not the old covenant people of God. So all these prophecies, think again, oh yes, that's for me too. Galilee of the Gentiles, salvation for all the people, that's for me too. Later on in Isaiah 49, the Lord said this, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and to bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." Did you hear that? Too small a thing. God considers salvation of just that one ethnic group of people too small a thing. God desires to have people from all tribes and languages and nations, from all over the world. God desires to save his people. And he so clearly started to do that when Jesus here came, and Simeon recognizes it. Now is the time. Now God is fulfilling it as Simeon is holding that baby there. And so, have your eyes seen this salvation? It might not be a Simeon who physically held that child. But do you see with the eyes of faith, as he did, that you see what that child meant for you personally, but also for all the people around you? We've remembered it again this year, right? We've waited for it, and then we've seen it, celebrated it. That this boy 2,000 years ago was born to be the Savior of the world. And so believe that God came to this earth, that God brought this salvation, his rescue plan, that baby boy for your salvation. Believe that God did that to bring you comfort, consolation, and peace. And so have you seen this salvation not Have you seen it in your own life? As you see how God is working, as He is changing you? Have you seen it in the people around you? As God is saving us, His church together, from all different backgrounds and peoples and nations. God is at work today, and we also can see His salvation, His rescue plan at work. Because salvation has begun. There in Simeon's day, God begun. Then he could say, now is the time. And still, we live in that day when God is working. We live in the already, as it were. Already God is saving. But we also live in the not yet, because we are awaiting for Christ to return. Already God's saving work is visible here, in us, around us. But it's not yet complete. And so we long, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. And then we come to our third and final point of responding then. And we've touched on it already, of course. We've been waiting for Christmas. And we have seen it. But now, what do we do now, 2 days after? How do we respond? How does it affect our lives? Well, in verse 33 to 35, we do see various responses to Jesus. Let's read those verses again. Verse 33. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. First of all, in verse 33, we see that Joseph and Mary marvel. They see this new thing that they hadn't heard from the other people before. This child, their child, he would bring salvation to all God's people. And they are marveling. And it's no wonder, right? They've had, you can think, well, they saw all those angels already. And somehow they must have gotten used to all these special things, right? But God's salvation plan is just so much bigger than we can think about. So much bigger than we can comprehend. Paul quotes again Isaiah, and he says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. And these are the things that God has revealed to us by His Spirit. And so, as they see with their eyes of faith, they see what God's doing. And they see this, and they are marveling, they are amazed. And then in verse 34 and 35, we see again what Simeon does. He blesses them. He speaks of God's grace and God's blessing upon the lives of Mary and Joseph. But then he turns to Mary in particular. And he describes that there will be varied and opposing responses to her son. And this is the second new thing that we see here in these words from Simeon. Compared to what we read earlier on in Luke. The first thing was that Jesus would be saving a savior for all the world. But the second thing is, this is not just bringing positive responses. This will bring division and this will bring opposition. He will be a sign that will be spoken against or opposed. He will cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. And that's so clear later on in Jesus' life and in his ministry, how he's constantly battling with those Jewish leaders especially. And to be clear here, Jesus bringing this division, and we also read of a sword, this doesn't mean that all the different churches that you see around the world, or it doesn't mean the wars that are waged in name of Christianity. That sort of division and sword is the opposite of what Jesus meant and desires from us. And not all that is done in the name of Jesus is truly according to His will. But rather, this division, it points to opposite responses, opposite heart responses to Jesus. And in that way, He will bring division through communities, through families. There will be opposing responses. And again, as we then pick up some words from the prophet Isaiah, we can think of how Jesus is compared to a stone. And this picture is often used in the New Testament. For some, Jesus is the stone of stumbling and offense. Isaiah 8, "See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall." And that's what Paul wrote to the Corinthians as well, right? Christ as a stumbling block, something that is annoying and is causing people to stumble. Paul wrote, "Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block for Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." So Jesus will be like a stumbling block. He will cause many to fall in Israel. But for many others, he will be the precious cornerstone upon which the church and salvation are built. And again, this is quoted very often in the New Testament from Isaiah 28. "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid it as a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste." You know, we think the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And so those images, they show the opposing responses to Jesus. Some will stumble, and for others it will be the most precious thing that they know. And Simeon then speaks of another result, that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Jesus knows every heart. He saw the hearts of those who opposed him, of the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders. He knows your heart and mine. And then very personally for Mary, Simeon says that a sword would pierce her own soul too, showing how deep Mary's sorrow would go. People would despise her son, reject him, take their stand against him. And in the end, of course, they nailed him to a cross and they left him to die. And that's the sword that will pierce Mary's own soul. A fitting picture for the pain and the deep sorrow that Mary would have to go through as she saw her own son suffering. Then as we conclude, what is your response? We have been waiting for Christmas with many people all around us. And then having celebrated it and seeing it, we have seen it. We have heard the Bible's testimony of Jesus who came to this world. And then now, waiting, seeing, responding. What is your response? Do you marvel at the amazing kindness and goodness of God, at His grace and mercy? And do you praise Him for such a great salvation? Christmas is not just the warm and cute story of the baby in the manger. This was the fulfillment of God's long plan. It was the mighty God Himself who came to this earth. And this salvation is prepared in the sight of all the people. The offer of the gospel goes out to all, and we can take that up and bring it to all. We can offer the gospel to all the nations and travel everywhere. You're going out very soon. We go there and we preach the gospel, the good news. But although this salvation is to be offered to all, it won't be accepted by all. And that's what Simeon prophesied here. There will be opposition and division as well. And so don't be on that side, that side of opposition. Don't reject this Savior. Please don't be one who hates the thought of having the thoughts of your heart revealed, because you know deep down there's so much sin in there. But rather, He knows already what's there. So turn to Him and repent. Open your heart to Him, and that's what Jesus desires. And so ask Him to forgive your sin. He will do that if you sincerely ask and turn to Him. And so are you ready? Because we are waiting too now, we said earlier on, for Jesus to come the second time. And we will all see Him. And yet how will we respond? Are you ready? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to turn to Him, to repent and believe. Because if you do that, if you are one with Jesus, then we can rejoice and continue to marvel and praise God and know the peace that Simeon knew, that he was ready to meet God, his Father and his Savior. God's rescue plan has come. Amen. And let's now turn to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for that amazing rescue plan. We thank you, Lord, that you have fulfilled all your promises and that you still continue to do that. And we pray, Lord, that as the gospel goes out over all the world, that it will reach many hearts. Lord, please bring many more people to that knowledge of the Savior, of Jesus. And give us all, Lord, that peace that Simeon knew, that we know that we are right with you, that we know that our sins are forgiven in Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray that you will draw us ever more closer to yourself and change us to prepare us to meet you and to see you face to face. And so, Lord, as we now sing our last hymn and then continue the rest of this day, we pray that you will be with us, that you will guide us with your Holy Spirit to long for you, to wait for Jesus to come back. And, Lord Jesus, we pray, come quickly. Amen.